In Indonesia, more suspected terrorists have been apprehended in recent weeks. And this past week, a bomb was set off at the Parliament building in Jakarta. The blast smashed windows, but no one was injured. It was the latest in a string of small bombings in Indonesia since last year's devastating terrorist attacks in Bali that killed more than 200 people. Trials of the Bali suspects continued this past week. Kelly McEvers reports that the trials provide a look into Southeast Asia's Al-Qaeda-linked terror network, and that the Bali cell is only one part of a much larger problem.
Of the four key suspects on trial in Bali, three are brothers. The eldest, Ali Gufran, is accused of masterminding the attacks on Bali nightclubs last October. Like all the accused in the Bali trial, Ali Gufran is allowed to give a response at the end of each day's proceedings. Allahu Akbar, God is great, shouts Ali Gufran as he holds his fist in the air. The five judges, four of whom are Balinese Hindu, tell him to quiet down. Bali is predominantly Hindu, and the bombing has exacerbated tensions between that community and the Muslims who are seen as responsible for the attack. Ali Gufran was arrested late last year. Police traced the serial number of the van used in the attack to his younger brother, Amrozi. The third brother, Ali Imran, is accused of assembling the one-ton bomb. Putu Indriati is one of the lead prosecutors in the case. She says the brothers at first admitted they planned and executed the attack, but they recently have rescinded their confessions and accused police of torture. In a 27-page written statement, Ali Gufran says he was stripped, shackled, punched, and stepped on, and that he lied to stop the beating. His lawyers suggest the Bali attack was actually a CIA plot. The trials are expected to continue next month. The brothers grew up in a small Muslim village that seems a world away from Bali's beaches and shops. The boy's mother receives visitors in her concrete floor shack. They ask about her sons and tell her she lives in a cursed house. She says she still doesn't understand what led her boys to commit violence. Her sons attended Islamic boarding school, a popular choice in predominantly Muslim Indonesia, especially in poor villages like this one. Ali Gufran later became an Arabic teacher. In the 1980s, he joined a group of outspoken Islamists barely tolerated by Indonesia's then-dictator, Suharto. The group retreated to Malaysia, and many were drawn to Afghanistan to fight the Soviets. Ali Gufran was one of them. He claims he met Osama bin Laden in 1987. Investigators say it was not long after that Ali Gufran and his colleagues formed a group called Jemaah Islamiyah, or JI. The group has links to Al-Qaeda and claims to be fighting for a Muslim state across Southeast Asia. Zak Abuza has written a book about Jemaah Islamiyah. He says the decision to attack Bali came during a crucial meeting of JI leaders early last year.
Clearly, they had orders going down from a January 2002 meeting in Bangkok where the JI leadership made the decision to go after softer targets such as tourist venues. But that actual cell that carried out this operation really didn't get started until August 2002. That's when they started to purchase the explosives and the chemicals.
2 months later, the bombing occurred. The speed with which the Bali cell acted worries investigators. Indonesian police recently netted 9 more suspected JI members who already had acquired weapons and more than twice as much bomb-making material as the Bali attackers.
The Indonesian police have found 16 bullets, 45 caliber bullets, hand rockets, TNT, bomb chemicals, and detonators.
National police spokesman Jainuri Lubis says the weapons were military issue, but the bomb material, potassium chlorate, can be purchased anywhere. So far, nearly 200 suspected JI members are in custody around Southeast Asia. It's thought there could be hundreds more at large. Zak Abuza says the recent arrests show that disbanding the Bali cell damaged but did not destroy the JI network.
I think one of the lessons of Bali for them is that future attacks do not have to be as large or kill as many people for them to do as much damage to an economy.
Bali's tourist-based economy has yet to recover from last year's attack. Police fear the next target could be Southeast Asia's lawless waterways, or a political assassination in Indonesia's coming election year. Security has been stepped up in malls and hotels to avoid what police call another Bali-style attack. For NPR News, I'm Kelly McEvers.